Blog Talk Radio.
Extraordinary Truth Ministries, and I am your host, Elder Lydia. Amen. I praise God for your presence. I give glory to God Almighty. Hallelujah. My Savior, Jesus Christ, my deliverer, my help in the time of trouble, my strength, my provider. He is. Hallelujah. He is. He just is everything that we have need of. He is our God. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our help. Amen. And He is our peace. Glory to God. Thank you for joining me for this installment of our series, No Other Gods. Under this year's theme, Taking Another Look, everything, and I do mean everything, that we need for life and godliness, it is in the Word of God. Glory to God. Amen. Our topic for today, amen, the subject that we're coming under is His dual entries of peace. Amen. Today is Palm Sunday. Amen. And I know I'm ending up Palm Sunday as it is the evening, and the hour grows late in the Pacific Northwest of the United States, but the glory is God's anyhow. I wanted to be the last word that you hear. And I was thinking all through the day, and even as I listened to the Bible study, amen, from our apostle, amen, Apostle Ingram, and she brought it forth beautifully. I mean, I wish I was able to speak up more. When it's on Facebook Live, you can't really contribute in the way that you want to. So it's a couple of points that I wanted to bring out, amen, as we talked about His triumphal entry when Jesus came back into Jerusalem. And this, what we call Passion Week. Palm Sunday is actually the beginning of Passion Week, and that passion means His suffering. You know, passion has a very different meaning in the world today of the Lord Jesus Christ, the suffering of the God of our salvation, the suffering of the one that took all that pain and all that suffering and became our sin. Since our sin was thrust upon Him so that we would be back, and we would no longer be in a position of alienation with the Father. Our relationship would again be renewed and polished, amen. And we would be able to go to the Father ourselves, and no longer would we need sacrifices to be made for us from a priest that actually had to have a sacrifice made for himself. But we could go to the Lord for ourselves because Jesus became our mediator, because He died for our sins. Amen. Dual entries of peace. And I want you to know what I mean by that. And when the birth of Jesus was heralded by the angels in Luke 2 and 14, the angels spoke to the shepherds, amen, the lowliest, I mean, those that actually were the least of society. The Lord chose to herald His coming to them first. And this is the humility and the love and the compassion of God that we're seeing here, that the lowest of the low, the Lord revealed, allowed Himself to be revealed to them first, His birth to be revealed to them first. And the angels heralded, amen, kingdom. And let me read it from scripture. I don't want to say it from my memory. And I'm coming from the Amplified Bible for all the scriptures that I'm reading today. And the angel said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men, with whom he is well pleased. Glory to God in the highest. And it says the highest heaven. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among men, with whom he is well pleased. That's Luke 2 and 14 from the Amplified Bible. Amen. So Jesus' entry was that of peace. And that it was a heralding of peace for the Lamb, because finally the chaos, the bondage, the captivity, the confusion was going to be disrupted by this peacemaker that's coming in the midst. And then that song that I don't know how to pronounce her name, it's spelled S-N-A-C-H, and I say Samas, but I don't know if that's correct or not, but her song says Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper. Light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. This was the one that was born into the world. And his birth, amen, was signifying that peace, amen, coming into the world. Amen. It was also prophesied that his name would be called, amen, the Prince of Peace, because he was ushering in a peace in the world like we had never known. Glory to God. Amen. His dual entries of peace. This was his first entry. Glory to God. And his second entry was his triumphal entry. That was actually prophesied in Zechariah. And it was prophesied in Zechariah 9, verses 9 and 10. And I'm going to read those to you as well. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king, Messiah king, is coming to you. He is righteous and endowed with salvation, humble and unassuming, in submission to the will of the Father, and riding on a donkey, upon a colt, a foal of a donkey. I will cut off the war chariot upon Ephraim, and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the bow of war will be cut off, and he will speak words of peace to the nation, and his shall be from sea to sea, absolutely endless, from the river Euphrates to the ends of the earth. Amen. You see, the Lord, this prophecy was to all people. Amen. Jesus came to bring peace to all nations. He came to usher in salvation to all nations. Amen. He came to heal alienated relationships in all nations. Every people under the sun, Jesus was not missing a beat. We all are covered by this miraculous work, by this sacrifice that the Lord has made for us. Glory to God. This was his final and his triumphal entry. And let me tell you about something about that. Let's read that scripture first. I'm going to read it from Matthew first, and then we're going to talk a little bit about how he entered. Amen. He entered in on a donkey. And there is some significance there, because there is a Middle Eastern custom and tradition about a king entering on a donkey. And there's also Middle Eastern symbolism related to the branches that were used. And then God sees, he knows all things. He saw it from the beginning. Amen. From the very beginning, when Adam and Eve fell and the Lord was speaking to them and to the serpent and letting him know exactly what was going to happen and how that seed of the woman would cause a fatal blow upon the head of the serpent. The Lord saw all those things, and Jesus, amen, is the manifestation, amen, of those prophecies. It is coming to pass here in the book of Matthew, which says, I mean, how the Lord is coming in on that donkey that was prophesied by Zechariah. That was those things that he was about to do were prophesied from the very beginning. Amen. Intended to save. From the very beginning, God was looking to heal our alienated relationship. From the very beginning, he loved us so much that he wanted to correct the mistakes that we make, correct, and then the interference and the disruption of Satan himself, and cause, and then him, and then to be punished for eternity for the things that he had done. He loved us that much that the fatal blow is not to us, but the enemy of our souls and to the enemy of our God. Glory to God. He loved us so much that from the moment we fell, he already had a plan. to God. He had a plan to bring us back. It's a white fella plan. Amen. A plan, glory to God, to heal us, to make us whole and entire, and then to fill us full of His presence so that we can have a relationship with the God of the universe, the creator of all things. Glory to God. That's what all of this is about. The glory of God, and He will get the glory, even in this season. God will get the glory. There is not a season under the sun that God cannot and will not get the glory, because He is God, and all these things were made by Him and for Him. We were created to make His name glorious. The glory is the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's read Matthew. Amen. I'm excited about the things that the Lord is doing and not that He's already done. Amen. He loves us so extremely much, more than we can ever imagine. He loves us more than we love one another. He loves us without conditions, without borders, and without boundaries. He loves us. No matter what we've done, no matter what we've been, no matter who we've loved, no matter where we've been, He loves us. And nothing can separate us from that love. That needs to be really clear to you. Nothing can separate us. I love what Scripture says. No created being can separate us. Satan himself, no matter how much he tries to throw in your path, he cannot separate you from the love of God. And all the things that God has done, everything He has done, is because He loves you and because He is ushering you back and reestablishing, realigning, and readjusting your path so that you see Him and only Him. Glory to God. Let's look at the triumphal entry in Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. Amen. It's also in the books of Mark, Luke, and John. But we're going to Matthew, and it says, when they approached Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples ahead, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and at once you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them. Without delay, the owner will send them with you. This happened so that what was spoken by the prophet would be fulfilled, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, the people of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. Then the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them, and they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their coats on them. And Jesus sat on the colt. Most of the crowd spread their coats on the road as before a king, while others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. We have a little bit of technical difficulty here. The crowd that went ahead of him and those that followed him were shouting in praise and adoration, Hosanna to the Son of David, Messiah, blessed, glorified is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When He entered Jerusalem, all the city was trembling with excitement, saying, who is this? And the crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Glory to God. And then I want to talk to you about the significance of Jesus coming in on a donkey. Amen. And I did mention a little bit earlier that And I want to tell you how kings generally introduce a Middle Eastern tradition about how kings enter a city. And they enter one of two ways, on a horse or on a donkey. When a king enters a city on a horse, he was coming to wage war. So it would cause the people to tremble and probably flee. But in this case, Jesus was coming in peace. So when a king was riding in into the city on a peaceful mission and coming in peace, he came in on a lowly animal, on a lowly beast, only. Amen. And he was coming in peace. And this is significant, because Jesus' triumphal entry, amen, he was coming in knowing that this is the week that he is about to suffer the greatest of all sufferings that any man has ever suffered in the earth. He was about to be thrust with all manner of evil and wickedness, stripped, amen, of his humanity, glory to God, and beaten, short of his life and ultimately placed on a cross, which is a cross to be hung on the cross. And he knew all that. And he did it so that we would be saved. He did it so that we would be redeemed. Amen. Redeemed from the trick of the enemy. Redeemed. Glory to God. He did it for us. Amen. He came in peace. Amen. Jesus rode a donkey's foal as the King of Kings, coming humbly in peace. This was his final entry into Jerusalem, and it was solemn. The first time he came, amen, the angels heralded and proclaimed glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Amen. That was that. His first entry, letting us know that peace is coming. Peace is coming into the earth, and it has arrived in the form of this babe lying in a manger, amen, that came miraculously in and of itself, that he was born of a virgin, amen. The Lord worked out every detail of his plan, amen, and he told his prophets along the way exactly what he was doing. Christian Amos lets us know that he gives his secrets to his prophets, and then he speaks to his people, and he lets us know what he is doing. Glory to God. We praise God for his peace and his bold entries of peace. Amen. That's the significance. Amen. And they began to, and lets us know that they cut branches from the trees. Amen. And they those branches were symbols of victory, symbols of triumph, eternal life. Amen. So they were already heralding him as their king. Amen. The Son of David, the Messiah. They were calling him that. The Messiah. And blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, giving him praise and adoration. Hosanna. Glory to God. I love this word. Amen. It means, amen, in Hebrew and Aramaic, it actually means Lord save us. But it's come to mean, amen, even more than that, amen, it has come to mean praise God, he is Messiah, we are saved. Amen, so that it was both a praise and a plea, giving glory to God, and also praise, thanking him for his salvation, although their plan was to be, they were thinking more immediate about their salvation. They wanted to be freed from their oppressor at the moment, which was the Roman empire that was oppressing them at the time. But the Lord, amen, his plan was to relieve all of humanity from the oppression of sin, to relieve all humanity from the captivity and the bondage, the hatred, the wickedness that Satan had thrust upon us, amen, the wickedness that came forth through disobedience. Jesus came forth, amen, as that second Adam to bring us life. So the first Adam, and then ushered in death. The second Adam, he is now here to usher in life. And we know, amen, because these things have already happened, that Jesus has already done those very things. The same Jesus, amen, that did all this and proclaimed, amen, life to each and every inhabitant on the earth, is still proclaiming life today, even in the midst of this global pandemic. All this anxiety and all of this fear, the Lord is calling for a return to him. I mean, he's taken away our toys and taken away many of our joys and taken away another look at what is really important. And if we look hard enough, we'll see the one thing, amen, that is needful in the earth, the one thing that has true significance is a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is coming back. Father, amen, and begging his pardon, amen, and coming to Jesus to receive this salvation that he died for, that he sacrificed his life for, amen, and Jesus let us know in his words that he came that we might have life and that more abundantly. You won't lose a thing by focusing on Jesus. He will renew and replace and restore your goods, amen. He will give you that more than you had before, but he wants your focus to be him and not all those other things. We, amen, have effectively swiped God left rather than turning away and serving the master. We've swiped him left, amen. But it's time to return to the God of our salvation. It's time to look for the hills from which cometh our help. Our help comes.
the Lord. Amen. I wanted to give you a scripture because we are still proclaiming that there are no other gods. No other gods. No other gods made with your hands. No other gods figured by your emotions. No other god that you are obsessed with. Shopping or food or money or people or things or events. No other gods. There is no other gods. None of these other things can save us. None of these other things will heal us from this global pandemic. Only Jesus has the power to heal. Amen. Jehovah Rapha, we are looking for the Lord that heals us right now. The Lord that will save us right now. The Lord that will deliver us right now. Amen. All salvation, all deliverance, all healing is in the hands of the Lord. Glory to God, his dual entrance. Hallelujah, the Lord. Amen. This is not a punishment. Amen. But the Lord is true, has to be true to himself and true to his word. And he spoke many times over and over the consequences of disobedience and the consequences that came forth from death. And then Jesus ushered in life. He came to bring you life all around us. So we ought to know, we ought to be looking for life. Where is life? Where is life? Where is life? It is in Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. It feels dark right now, doesn't it? It feels hopeless for some. But we that know the Lord and the pattern of us, we are not without hope. Because we know Jesus saves. We know Jesus heals. Jesus delivers, and he came that we might have life and that more abundantly. God has not forgotten you. He still loves you with the same everlasting love. He is just trying to readjust, amen, your priority. He is just trying to let you see that you will have more with him than without him. He's trying to let you see that you that these plagues that come nigh other households will not come nigh yours if you will focus your attention on heaven to God and on him. It's time for us to return to the Lord. Amen. All people. Under every tongue, every tongue, every nation, every continent, every city, every state, every republic, every village, in the remotest parts of the earth, it's time to come back to the Lord. If you never knew him before, it's time to come. And God has a way of letting us see, no matter where you are, in the most parts of the earth, he has a way of focusing your attention so that you see and know that he is God and there is no other. Amen. Isaiah 45 and 6, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I will guard you, though you have known me not. Amen. Let the Lord guard you up. And I cry out to him, and he will listen. I love that scripture in Jeremiah. I've been quoting it a lot these days. Jeremiah 33 and 3. Amen. Jeremiah was a prophet of the Lord God. He was considered the weeping prophet because he was one that was mourning and then grieving because of the condition of Israel, because the Lord has had to warn them time and time again, they've had pestilence and illnesses and captivity, and every time that they would come out and make a renew that vow to the Lord, they would go back again. Amen. But the Lord is coming once again, and he is a deliverer, just like he delivered in those days. He is not a respecter of persons. Today, and then let the Lord gird you up today with his power, with his salvation. Amen. The word tells us, it says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. His name is Jesus. It's time to call on Jesus. It's time to call on Jesus. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you know not of. You thought you were missing something. You thought it was too much. You thought it was restrictive, but there are boundaries in every area of life. I don't know why people don't consider that. That is a trick of the devil. It's a lie directly from the mouth of Satan that tells you there's too many rules. There's rules in every area of society. Every city, every state, every country has laws. And some of them more rigorous than others. Many of them more rigorous than the laws of God. Glory to God. But Jesus, he came that you might have life and that more abundantly. He came to liberate you from the things that have you bound. Not to bind you, but to liberate you, to free you from those things. call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. I praise God today. I give glory and honor to him. Amen. Call on him. His name is Jesus. And whosoever, they shall be saved. It's time to call on Jesus. And I mean call on him until he answers. Call on him until your body shakes and it feels like the room is shaking. Call on him until you're speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance, just as they did on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Read it. Glory to God. They spoke in tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. That was the sign, amen, that the presence of the Lord was there and he had entered into their bodies. And now our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the Lord is able to speak to us and direct us and show us where danger is and show us the things that we ought not do, direct our paths and show us things that will bring us, they show us things that are wholesome. And show us things that would be a curse. Glory to God. Show us things that will bring life. And show us things that will bring death. Jesus came that we might have life. Amen. That we might have life and peace. All of us want peace. I don't know a human being on the face of the earth that does not want peace. Jesus is that peace. He is that peace. Don't you want that peace to live on the inside? Amen. Call on Jesus. He hears you. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. For you, yeah? You. That's right. Right there where you are. He's waiting for you. God bless you and God keep you and God anoint you. Amen. Call on Jesus. Amen. We are all lifting up our voices before him in this global pandemic. Amen. Our prayers, amen, Lord, up before heaven that the Lord wipe out this pandemic from off the earth. Amen. And we're praying and then the souls be saved and that lives be spared. Amen. And I am praying for you. God bless you. Amen.